It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Guy goes to the doctor, says, "Doc, I can't seem to get started in the bedroom." Doctor examines and says, "Well, my friend, we got two choices. For $5,000, I can do a series of procedures. In about 6 weeks, you'll be good to go. For $12,000, I can do one procedure, and you'll be ready to go tomorrow morning." Guy says, "Well, let me go home and discuss it with my wife." Comes back the next day. The doctor says, "What'd you decide?" The guy says, "We're going to redo the kitchen."
Hey, man. Welcome to the Big Bad Broadcast, dude.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to the Big Bad Broadcast. We got our great show here for you today. And if you notice, the room looks a little empty. We have our original Dean of the Clown College, Mike Grief.
Hey, what's happening, John? How you doing today? Welcome to Mike and John in the Morning. It's all new day. It's a new scenario, a new life. What's going on, brother?
We need a little jingle. Mike and John in the Morning.
It's Mike and John in the Morning. All right, let's get a traffic report from your sister's ass. All right.
And the room seems a little empty today. Unfortunately, Craig Mitchell, who we did 118 shows with, has gone on to bigger and better things.
He is actually with 218 shows.
Is it?
You said it was 200.
So no, 118.
That's 118. Felt like two. Okay.
Anyway, and so he has got a cooking show called Off the Cuff. That's taking up a lot of his time, and he is going to pursue that. And we wish him the best of luck and thank him for everything he did on the show.
Absolutely.
Good.
You know what, John? It's healthy cooking. It's off the healthy cooking with Craig Mitchell, which is always, it's funny to me because I'm assuming he's a good cook. I don't know. I've never had Craig's cooking, although we did try some dessert that he made us one time. But this is the weird thing I always think about people. It's like, you know, I've always been on trying to lose weight and this and that. And you want to take the foods that are like poisonous to you and let's make them healthy. I think it's just like, I think it's a mind kind of a mess up thing where you know, I want to take something that's, I shouldn't be eating pizza or whatever and try to make it healthy.
Well, I don't know. If you're obsessed with eating pizza and you know, you can't live without pizza, you know, I'll tell you a funny story that happened on Easter this week.
About pizza?
No. My nephew, who's 2 years and 3 months, he eats really healthy. You know, his mother and father don't let him have anything. Like, you know, like his Easter treat was like 3 M&Ms and an egg, you know?
Oh, my God. What's watching a kid? Don't give him any M&Ms. Better than 3 M&Ms.
So, anyway, I was in the pool with him, and I was drinking a Diet Sprite. And he looked both ways at his parents, make sure they weren't looking. Right. He picked up the Sprite, and he took a big sip, and he went, "Good God, is that delicious?"
How old is he? Two.
He's like two. He's like 2 and 3 months, I guess.
Oh, give him an M&M next time and see where
he's
home.
Just the way he said it, you know that as a kid, he heard his dad or somebody say that.
Oh, but kids are just mimics.
He just
yeah,
put it down. And he went, "Good God, is that delicious?"
That is delicious. Imagine if he tried pizza. Oh man.
He's so funny though. Kid is a fish. The kid is a fish. He can swim like 40 feet across the pool.
Yeah.
Not that my pool is 40 feet, but his in-laws have a condo pool and he swims the whole length of that, you know?
Well, at that age, that's pretty good. See, we have access. See, my grandson, last time he was here, I taught him how to swim. Now he's 10 now. And I guess it was 2 years. So, but it was 8, but the problem is, you know, living in New York City, you don't really have access to a pool. So he didn't know how to swim. Yeah, and, you know, me, I'm crazy. I got a safety, you know, I bought a vest. I bought all of the flotation things, you know. And now the kid's like a fish, and he's trying to drown me the last time he was in the pool.
I got a funny story. My friend Gary, he has a sailboat. Him and his wife, they're big avid sailors. They rent catamarans down the islands. He's got a captain's license. And when they had their first boy, I think it was, yeah, the oldest, John, he hated the water, right? And they're like, well, you know, we're boat people. We got to teach him how to swim. So he paid for private lessons, and he got a call from the instructors that to come down to see how your kid's doing after 4 weeks. And he comes down, and the kids are all swimming in the pool, and there's his son sitting on the edge of the pool with his ankles in the pool.
Right.
And he says to the teacher, well, when's he going to swim? She goes, oh, that's an amazing improvement. I couldn't even get him near the water for the first 3 weeks. He goes, that's it. Lesson's over.
Oh, man. See, that's the thing is, you can't force your, just because you have your likes. And now, obviously, you know, parents try to do that stuff. If you're like into camping, you want to take your kid camping, and hopefully they'll adapt, they'll adjust, they'll love it. But if there's something they totally hate, I think it's wrong to just try to force them into it.
Well, this little guy, Griffin, man, he's so funny to me. He likes the jacuzzi because to him, it's like a kiddie pool with a deep section. So he can dive off the waterfall in between the seats.
Wait, you got the kid diving into the jacuzzi?
Not diving, I mean jumping feet first, you know?
Okay.
And so anyway, I look over. And he's sitting on the bench with his head completely under the water, like he's sitting on a park bench.
Yeah.
Just sitting there.
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah. Just enjoying it. With the bubbles on, right?
We didn't even have the bubbles on. We were just like in there so I could see him with the bubbles on, I wouldn't even be able to see him.
No, because my grandson loved that, the jacuzzi, and he put the bubbles on. But what I wouldn't do is I wouldn't let it get too hot.
Right.
So I would let him in, and same thing. I bought the snorkel mask and the whole snorkel gear. So he loved that. He loved that in the pool, but for some reason he enjoyed it more in the jacuzzi with the bubbles. He would stay with the snorkel mask and he would just float. You know, it's like I had to go out and check on him every minute to make sure that he was okay.
When I was a kid, I mean, everyone in my neighborhood had above ground pools, you know?
Right.
It's like the big joke was you just show up at your neighbor's house if you didn't have a pool with your towel and go, what do you want to do?
Show up with flip-flops. What are we doing today?
Yeah. But we always used to swim. But we used to have – I came from this really crazy neighborhood that was like something out of a sitcom. Like all the neighbors got together on Sundays and like the men played horseshoes and the women and we had barbecues. And the kids, we used to get in the pool and we take the ladder out and we make a whirlpool by walking around and around and around the circle till we could get the water going so fast. And I remember once this kid jumped over the side and he didn't come up. He was trapped in the current.
Jesus Christ.
And we saw him go by.
Is this a fun, fond memory, John? No, thank you.
We saw him go by and someone goes, there he is, and just pulled him up, you know?
Yes. Like, there's his body. All right, let's work. That's so weird. It's you know, it's all these crazy, like, it's so different today. You know, parents are so micromanage kids because it seems like a dangerous world. I mean, it was dangerous when we were kids, but it seemed more friendly, nicer. You know, my parents, we used to roam the streets day and night. You know, they didn't know where the hell we were. And we didn't know the neighbors were keeping an eye on us, but we would go everywhere, do whatever we, you know, I think actually my parents were hoping we'd get abducted. You know,
yeah, it was definitely different, you know. Yeah. I mean, I remember going to this. I remember my neighbor used to smoke cigarettes, and cigarettes were like a quarter a pack from the machine in the grocery store.
A quarter a pack.
And she used to send us with cigarettes. We were like 10, right? And I vividly
John, did you have like a corn cob pipe? I'm getting a hillbilly feeling here. You know? Can we go buy some cigarettes over here?
This is in New York, right? When we'd go and bring her back cigarettes. But I remember kids in strollers and carriages outside the food store while their parents were inside shopping.
Yeah, leave them out there. You know, exactly. It was a different world, you know. It just, I don't know. I don't know what happened to the world. I don't know what's changed exactly. But yeah, the same thing. It's like, you know, we were dangerous seekers in any way. But, you know. When my kid when he was small, I worried about him, but not like you have to worry about a kid today. The world is just really a different place.
Yeah, you see this thing that's going on in New York? Women walking down the street and they get punched in the face.
Yeah, I heard about that. It's so freaking weird. It's like, are you so angry? Who are these guys that are so angry at women? I mean, I listen, you know, everyone has problems in, you know, it related. I never get that. To me, this is the ultimate cowardice. If you're a tough guy, you think you're a man, you're whatever, hit a dude and hit a dude bigger than you. Hit a dude that looks more dangerous than you. If you hit a small guy, you hit a woman, you are a pussy. You're nothing. You're a coward. You're a loser.
And, you know, a lot of women carry guns in New York.
Yeah, good.
One of these guys are going to get shot, which would be
great. I hope so. It wouldn't bother me at all. Matter of fact, I'd party. I'd love it. I'd, you know, let him get shot.
I told my daughter she should buy a football helmet.
I can see Lindsay walking around with a football helmet. You know, John, Jesus Christ. Just walk around with a helmet.
She goes, I'll be honest, I've been taking cabs more than I used to take the subway. You know?
I heard they arrested at least one of these guys that was doing it. Is it a movement? Do they think there's like lots of guys doing it, or is it just
what I heard, they, you know, it's like a fad.
It's a fad to go around
like punching. It's like hula hoops.
Well, you know what? I also heard, and this is funny because it just occurred. I saw a video with a guy, and he's got like a bunch of guys walking around the streets looking for those guys. Like if they catch, they're waiting to see if they catch one of these guys. They think, you know, the guy's gonna fucking be immediately karma.
Like the guardian angels.
The guardian angels. Yeah, yeah, man. I'll tell you the truth. You know, those guys, they did it, whatever, but they were annoying. You know, it's like, you know, when I lived in New York, I remember the guardian angels, and yeah, you know, I dressed in leather. Hey, Don, I got the tattoos. I wear the leather. So I get on the subway and I got these guys staring at me. It's like, I get it. You're here for protection, but that doesn't mean just because I look dangerous that you're going to like stare me down for no reason. You're causing a problem. You're causing an issue. You're not helping the world, you know?
Yeah, no. It's very funny because who was it? Dave Horton used to do that thing. Hey, we're the guardian angels. We're in the subway to protect you. We work hand-in-job with the cops. The whole thing's just a big hand job. If you're in the subway and you're getting mugged, chances are we'll be there because we'll be the ones mugging you.
We'll be the ones mugging you. It's the truth. Like, what was the test to become a guardian angel? You know.
Now, what's the guy's name? Curtis Sleewood?
Curtis Sleewa. Yeah, he ran for like mayor too or something like that, I think at one time, or some kind of.
And everyone knows you got to be above board, honest person to run for politics.
Oh, yes. You have to totally be Mr. Rogers. That's a wonderful day. Please.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I mean, I'll tell you the truth. I missed my calling. Honestly, if I could do it over again, I might become a politician. I don't care what side you're on. It's the biggest grift there is.
I know. And all you have to remember is a couple of phrases. Witch hunt.
Witch hunt. There you go. Wait, I think we're talking about an individual. So I think
they're all using that. They're all using that now.
That's so, it.
Who else did I just see?
Hey, John, I think that's fake news.
There's somebody else. Oh, T. B. Diddy or T. Whatever his name is. The Diddster.
His name is T.
The Diddster. He said the whole thing is a witch hunt.
It's a witch hunt. I mean, God, you know, one thing I would think I would use a more original phrase. I mean, Trump has been using that, and we got to get the Trump bell. See, now we changed our bell for the.
But, you know, I think the witches have something to say about that.
Witches be bitches.
Witches. I think witches, you know, it was a little worse for a witch.
Yeah.
In a witch hunt.
Well, being that there was no such thing as witches, probably. These were just women who I think in a lot of cases, they were just women who were practicing some kind of medicine.
If you spoke a different language, you were a witch.
Yeah, you're a witch. I love the Monty Python thing. She's Myrna. She's a witch. How do you know she's a witch? Well, she turned me into a newt.
I saw the funniest Monty Python thing last night. It's there are two pilots in a plane.
Right.
And the one pilot goes, oh, how many hours do we have left? I'm so bored. And he goes, yeah, watch this. just want to say there's nothing wrong with the wings. This is your pilot speaking. There's nothing wrong with the wings. And they're both laughing. He goes, now wait a couple of seconds because they want to know what was going on with the wings. Everything is clear with the wings. There's no more worry. And he goes, wait. Hold on. This guy getting in the bathroom. This guy getting right in the bathroom right now. Wait 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. He shakes the wheel. Please go back to your seat immediately.
And don't worry about the wings.
It was really funny. They just kept doing these stupid things.
That's funny, man.
So, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, man, it's like, you know, we're doing a big cleaning out and everything like that. And it's just funny. It's I don't know how your garage is, but my garage is just like, piles and piles of just whatever. And it's like this overwhelming thing trying to go through this stuff. And my only hope I got this, it's like the only reason I can keep going on it is because I'm hoping to find something like that I can bring to the Antiques Roadshow.
My garage looks like everything was in boxes and all the boxes split open.
Oh, you're one of those.
my garage looks like, all right, so in my garage, I have an antique car.
Right.
I have six surfboards.
What is it, like one for every day? So you don't want to like show up at the beach and like go, look, he's using the same surfboard.
I don't know. It's like I have this one surfboard that I really liked, and then you know, after I had the surgery, it's, you know, I started looking into these foam boards.
Right.
Because now they're really high tech. So I found this one by this guy, Ben Gravy, and it's called the Wave Bandit.
I think it sounds like Wavy Gravy.
Yeah, it's the Wave Bandit. And it's a really high tech softboard, and he rides it everywhere. So I ordered it on Amazon.
Really?
It came in a box.
Gee, how the hell do you deliver a surfboard from Amazon?
In a big truck. And I have a picture. It's standing up in front of my front door. A 9'10" surfboard.
Oh, is that the one you use for the mailbox?
No, that one's gone, unfortunately. And then, so I have that. And then every time I go to the surf shop, there's a surfboard called the Magic Model.
Right.
And it's just a beautiful board. And they're expensive. They're like $1,500, $1,800.
Are you planning on surfing? I mean, are you still?
Yeah, definitely. So every time I go to the surf shop, I go, oh, God, I love this board. It's so beautiful. And my friend Warren, who's crazier than I am, he has about 300 boards. No exaggeration.
So we want to know what's in his garage.
He's got a tractor trailer filled with surfboards.
Oh, one of those, like you see on the American Pickers, like they open up, they go to these people's property, open up these truck things, and it's like full of whatever.
So, I mean, he used to run a surfing school, and then he said to me, why are you obsessed with that board? I go, I don't know, man. I just love it. He goes, I think I have a couple of those. Yeah. So the last time he came to my house, he goes, I brought you a present, and he brought me one.
He just gave you one of those $1,500 magic, whatever the hell you call it, boards. Magic. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so I got that. And which I'm afraid to ride because it's too beautiful. And then I have a little short surfboard that I decided that.
Now what's the difference? Like if you got a long board or a short board, I mean, is there really any, is the way it rides? Is there, because I know nothing about surfing.
Well, a short board, you know, surfing has really changed. When I learned to surfboards were all big. They were like 9'6", 9'10".
Yeah, right. And they were what, made of wood, right?
No, they were made.
I mean, they must have been pretty heavy. What were they made of?
They were made the same way, but they were heavier because they had 4 layers of 10-ounce glass on them. And right. I had like an extra layer on the top and an extra layer near the fin. And so they were 40 pounds, you know. Now surfboards are like 5'8", one layer of 6 ounce glass. They're disposable.
Right.
After three runs, your feet come through, you need a new board. But after,
that's why you see them like a shark, and you just see this big bite out of it, because it's like in the old days you'd see maybe one of his teeth in the board, but now you just see it just takes the chunk out of the board.
But I remember this won't be except anybody that surfs, but when boards were all around 9'10", a friend of mine bought a board. It was called a Gary Proper Mini Model, and it was 9 foot. And he just
that's decided, the mini model.
And he decided it was too small, and right. he traded it to me for my board. And I remember walking down the beach with that board and people coming up to me going, you can ride that thing? And then after that, the board I rode for years was a 5'10". And then once you get older, man, you go back to a longer board because it's easier to paddle. It's easier to catch waves.
I've never surfed. I think I like boogie boarded one, like, you know, just that piece of foam you hold in front of you and let the wave bring you to the shore. That's about it.
Next time you come, I'll have you up.
Yeah, except we don't go past the trench.
No, you gotta go past the trench.
So my original fear for bringing it up. So, like I said, going through the garage. So you say your box is all. You're one of those guys probably that takes like just, you put a box on the bottom and then you put some freaking really heavy on top of it.
No, that's not what happened. It just looks that way,
right?
This is what my problem is. I have 100 billion tools. And every time I fix something and I use the tool, I don't put it back. I put it on the workbench.
Yeah, me too. So it's like I've got everything all over the place. And the truth is that, you know, like I'm doing a lot of work. My motorcycle has been sitting there waiting for me to work on it for the last 6 months. I'm going to change the handlebars. I got a bunch of, you know, that doesn't seem to be happening. But the same thing, I got boxes and I got all kinds of stuff from when we moved in this house. Right. That were in the garage in the last house, you know. And what's that rule? Like, if you haven't used something in a year, you don't need it.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's like there's, I don't know. And it's so funny because, you know, as men, we always like, I'll pick up like a little piece of pipe or something. I'll go, I'll be in the gym. I'll go, oh, I'll throw that on my workbench. And then Chris will go, what are you going to do with this? And I go, I don't know. So she goes, throw it away. So I'll throw it away. And then like a week later, I'm looking for that little piece of pipe.
Yeah. See, but I'm even worse. Like there'll be something that I'll throw away. I know I need to get rid of it, whatever it is, a vacuum cleaner, it is that. But I'm so crazy, I'll take it apart and look for pieces that I can save and use on something else.
Me too. I did the same thing. Oh, this little rubber conveyor belt I might need.
Exactly.
And then when you throw it away, you need it.
You need it exactly as soon as you. But I mean, like I said, I got to go through all of this stuff. And what's your like? See now, and then this isn't another thing. It's like, what do you have anything that you're kind of obsessed with? You know, I mean, I go through these phases. There's times when, like, you know, I'm shirts. I love T-shirts or whatever. Right now, my obsession has been sneakers. I think I bought like friggin', 10 pairs in the last couple of months. And, wow. You know, just, yeah, well, because I've been going to the gym every day, working out every day, you know, trying to get, so I want to get healthy enough to be one of my own pallbearers. I just have an arm reaching out going, come on, lift this fat bastard.
You know, after I had that surgery and I lost a lot of weight, I became obsessed with suits.
Suits.
And it's just so crazy because where do I wear suits? I have at least 10 suits.
Right.
And I used to have this woman at Men's Warehouse, and she was great. Yeah, you know, she used to work there, and, you know, she was almost like a shopper for me. She'd call me up and go, you need to come down. I put one away in your size. Oh,
she's not a shopper. She's a drug dealer.
No, listen, it's great. She goes, I have right here. She goes, it's on clearance. And everything was on clearance. She goes, I have that, like, $2,000 Armani suit for $125.
Right. Wait, you know, even I would buy that and I would probably never wear it.
Yeah. And I have suits like that. I have so many of them. Like, you know, and it was all stuff like that. Like she'll go, you know, she goes, oh, you know, and she was good. She was a stylist. She goes, everyone needs like a winter, like black like wool blazer,
right?
You know? And she goes, "It's summertime in Florida." She goes, "The $500 wool blazers are $39." You know,
right? See, but if I had an Armani suit in Florida, I'd never wear it because it'd be like, "Oh, I'm not going to sweat in Armani," you know.
So yeah, but I mean, you know, so I would just became obsessed with suits, and then that when I was working the Magic Castle, it was great because I could bring like four different suits with me, and they would go, "Oh, you're so dressed, so nice." You know,
there you go. See, and it's funny because we make fun of women. We go, you know, like my wife buys shoes or whatever she buys, you know, and her excuse, same thing, was on sale. I know, but you don't even, but it was on sale. And seeing we're doing the same exact thing.
Exactly. But no, but this woman was really good because it was great. They had a tailor there that was amazing. And, right. You know, as soon as you walk in, you put on the suit and you go, "Oh, this looks pretty good." And the tailor's like, "Get over here."
I don't know if I've ever owned. I think I've had one suit in my whole life, and that was the same thing. When I lost a bunch of weight, I bought a suit, and I don't even remember what it was. I think it was for a wedding.
It was for your prom.
It was for my prom. Oh my God! I saw some of those pictures from back from grade school, and so it's same thing was a suit, but it was like, oh, what was my fault? My father was weird. I mean, the same thing. Anything that was cheap. You know, we used to wear these striped bell bottoms, you know, and it was like the freaking mid to late 70s. The 60s were over. We were like the only ones walking around in these freaking hippie bell bottoms. Like, what kind of freaking freak are you?
Starting a trend.
So how was Easter, man? We just passed the Easter holiday.
Well,
did you eat a bunny?
No, I didn't eat any bunnies. You know, the only thing I like out of all that Easter candy is jelly beans. I'm still obsessed with jelly beans. I don't know why. Probably the worst thing in the world you can eat.
But they're fucking delicious, man. You know what? See, my favorite is those little malted eggs. They made it with chocolate.
Oh, I love those. But you got to get the chewy one. That's what you live for.
The defective one. Got to get a discount on it. Hey, this one's real. I want it cheap.
You know the ones I'm talking about, right? You get one every once in a while. It's chewy.
Oh, yeah, because there was some moisture in the malt.
Yeah, those are the best.
I know. See, now kids today don't even know what malt is, man. You used to get a malted.
I know.
Were you a shaker or a malted guy?
Malt, chocolate malt. There's still a place around here that makes them.
Love those things. Yeah, so, I mean, yeah, Easter was, I don't know. Like I said, I'm trying to always losing weight. That's why I was talking about the thing, but.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
This is ridiculous, but this is my tip for the week. Wendy's right now, they used to have Frosties.
Right.
Now they have orange creamsicle Frosties.
Oh, man.
And I got one yesterday. It was the best thing I ever ate in my life. I'm telling you. It's a cup of just deliciousness.
Let me have a cup of delicious, please.
I'm serious. Like I mean, I loved creamsicles when I was a kid. And these taste exactly like them.
Oh, now I got to go to Wendy's. See, there you go. Blow my whole diet. I'm doing keto.
Blow your diet. I know. It's terrible. But, you know, it's worth it. It's worth it.
Yeah. See, my wife is pissed at me. It's like I'm losing weight. I'm eating right. And she wants to, you know, she likes to have her snacks. She doesn't have her problems, but she likes to have her snacks. And she feels guilty if she buys cake or chocolate or something like that because, you know, she doesn't want to tempt me. And so I said, listen, just, you know, so it's like we're like drug addicts. She's like, I go, just hide it. Just hide it. Just the way I used to do with fucking drugs and booze. Just hide it. You know, when you want it, you go get it. So I don't know where it is.
Take a little piece of molding off the wall. That's what I used to keep my joints.
Hide it in the back of the toilet tank.
I used to have a little piece of molding about 12 inches around one corner. So I could take off and I hollowed it out and I could put the molding back.
Fuck, you're devious. Like the sniffing dog wouldn't find that shit if they came to your house. Who are you worried about? Who are you worried about finding it?
I got to tell you this is really funny. It just made me think of it. So I was, you know, I was like a terrible kid as far as like, I had like chemistry sets. I'd be making stink bombs and all this crap. My room was the worst. Right. So one day my dad decides, you can't take care of your room. You lost it to your sister. So he evicted me, right? He evicted me to my room.
Come on, he had some ulterior motives, man. He just used that as an excuse to throw you out of that room.
No, so he evicted me. So upstairs, we had a finished upstairs. And my grandmother had lived there for a while. She passed on. And my my great aunt, who was like my grandmother, lived there. So when you went up the stairs, there was a living room to the left. And then a bedroom, two bedrooms at the top of the stairs.
Right.
Which my sister got. That was my bedroom.
That's nice. So we put grandma up the stairs. So grandma had to walk up the stairs all the time.
No, she liked it. She had her own little place. And we had actually, we had an elevator. Like one of those chair elevators.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Gee, what year was this?
Well, this is, I don't know.
Because I don't think they came out with those things until like the 90s, sometime in the 90s.
No. This was like back.
We had an elevator. Excuse me, but Mike, but we had an elevator in our house.
Not an elevator. One of those chair things that were up the stairs.
And did the servant put you in the chair thing? You know.
Well, anyway, so this is really, you like this. So there was a dining room upstairs, like a little dining room.
Right.
So my father goes, this could be your room, right? Didn't have a door, and it had the big open space into the living room.
Right.
So I was like, okay. So I put up a curtain, right, to block it from the living room. And no one was hardly ever in that living room.
Yeah.
So there's no door. So one day, me and my buddy, my parents are out of town. We pick up these two chicks. We bring them back to my place, right?
And you got the curtain of invisibility, right. Thank God.
This is the funniest.
Good.
So the whole room was like my friend's mother, the guy who gave me the surfboard, worked for this poster company.
Right.
And I had all like black light posters and black lights and it was a real psychedelic den.
That was the cool thing back then, man.
And I had strobe light, you know, a whole bit. So we smoke a whole bunch of weed, right? And we are toasted.
And you got these two girls with you upstairs.
Yeah. So the one girl is sitting on the floor, and she goes to lean against the wall, which is really the curtain.
The curtain.
And she fell down the stairs. No, she falls into another room. Do you know what a mind fuck that is? She falls into it. She's in a bedroom, and next thing you know, she's in a living room.
So she's tripping. She's like,
she's freaking out. She's freaking out. Where am I? Where am I? Oh my God. And my friend's like, I'll try to rescue you.
It's a Twilight Zone. Keep talking so we can know where you are. Meanwhile, her feet are still in the other room, probably.
He grabbed her by the feet and he pulled her back through the curtain.
Keep talking.
She was so freaked out, they had to leave.
Oh man, that cost you a lot right there. No forethought to tell her, hey, don't lean back on the curtain. That's not actually a wall or a door. You could have got laid, but no.
Yeah, that's so funny. She just did like a backflip into another room.
That's freaking hilarious.
It's really funny. It's really
funny. Man, have you ever been that high where it's like you just kind of like for a second or even long, you just didn't know where the hell you were?
Hey, I did crawl underneath a cow thing, and it was a cave at Woodstock.
There you go.
Because the bees the size of shoeboxes were after me.
The shoebox bees.
But other than that, another time I was at a friend of mine's house and her dog walked in wearing a space helmet.
Now, was that real or was that just a trick?
She had a bubble on her head.
Probably had one of those collars that, you know, stops the dog from biting itself, and you just saw a space helmet. Official space helmet on, Captain Video.
It could have been. I don't know. It could have been.
Oh, my God. That's so funny.
So what are you doing for the eclipse?
I'm going to stare straight into it. And
that's what Trump did.
I know. Now, there you go. There's the Trump. Ring the Trump bell. I don't know. Why? Is that a tradition? Are you doing something special? Are you having a party for the eclipse?
Well, you know, it only happens every 20 years.
Right.
So the last eclipse, I was on a cruise ship with all the guys from NASA and everything. And I have the most amazing pictures. And this is really kind of cool. So I guess it was going to be like in the you know, the Caribbean, the West Indies part was going to be the primary viewing.
Was this a corporate cruise for people from NASA or something like that?
No,
or they just happened to be on the cruise.
They just all got on because this, you know, they rented out like 200 cabins, you know?
Right.
So they had like special cameras and they had stuff to measure the ionosphere.
Oh, they did this specifically for the eclipse. The okay, yeah, I got you.
So I was talking to the scientist and he, you know, we gave us really great glasses and stuff. And he says, when it's total eclipse, watch the water. And I go, why? He goes, just watch the water. You're going to see stuff you never saw before.
Really?
Goes, fish run on a cycle of dark and light. And when it gets dark, when it's not the time for it to get dark, they don't know what to do. They'll start jumping out of the water. You had to see the ocean.
But I mean, what? How do you see them if it's dark? What, do you have flashlights or something? Or I mean, no, how do you see them?
No, I mean, you can kind of, it kind of is, it's kind of a weird way to describe it. It's a bright light around with a big dark circle.
Right. And all the aura, whatever the hell it's called.
Yes,
yeah.
The orb, I guess. So you can still see, but it's like dusk.
Right.
But you had to see like fucking dolphins jumping out of the water, fish jumping everywhere. It was the most amazing thing. And it's only for like a split second, you know, like maybe 30 seconds. But God, I got amazing. I was looking for them today. I don't know where they are right now.
Pictures of the whole thing, huh?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was taken with NASA telescope. So, I mean, it's like something you never saw with the date.
Well, it was 20 years ago. So, I mean, back then, the technology, your iPhone probably takes as good, if not a better picture than those NASA guys had 20 years ago.
And you got to be really careful if you're taking a picture of it with your phone, which people don't know, because you can burn out the lens.
If you're taking a picture of the eclipse,
yeah,
which you got to be pretty stupid to do the eclipse bell.
Well, some people go, I won't look at it. I'll just take a picture.
I'll just take a picture.
Yeah, there's things called in photography called neutral density filters that go up to like 10, which is just dark, dark, dark sunglasses.
See, if we've never mentioned this, I don't know if we have or not, but your John is an amazing photographer. I've seen his work, professional quality photographer. So you obviously, thanks, you know a lot about this stuff. I don't know anything about photography. I'm lucky I can just push the little button to take a picture.
I heard this doctor today say that after the last eclipse 20 years ago, people came into the office and they had like the actual eclipse burnt into their retinas.
Good.
And they're saying, good.
That's how we thin the herd, man. It's like,
they're saying, just do not look into the eclipse.
Yeah. If you have to tell somebody not to look into the eclipse, you learn that as a child. So if you're an adult
you saw the president staring into the eclipse.
Well, it goes for him too. If you're an adult and you have to be told not to go and look into the eclipse, you know, I'm sorry, but I don't feel bad when I see you walking around with that stick with the red tip on it, you know? Don't trip over the dog, asshole.
It's not so. Apparently, Texas is going to be the best place. Texas. Oh,
there's going to be a lot of blind people in Texas.
Texas, Texas to Maine is the best viewing, I guess.
I can see the news tomorrow. When is this eclipse? I don't even know.
Monday.
When is
Monday.
So Tuesday, the news report's going to be, you know, a lot of blind people in Texas. I'm sorry, but Florida too. Florida's be half blind.
I don't know. I'm just going to try to look it up to see if you can see.
I'm going to point my phone at it and not look like you said and take a picture. But actually, I need a new phone. What phone are you rocking these days, man? Do you got one of the new Apple phones?
iPhone 15 Pro Max.
Oh man, yes.
The photos on it are phenomenal. Yeah. Phenomenal.
See, I'm a cheap bastard. My phones have all been inherited. You know, my nephews, my brother buys them new phones whenever the Apple comes out with a new phone. But for whatever, I guess his deal expired. So my last phone I'm using is an iPhone 11, which I got from one of my nephews a couple of years ago. Now the deal's over, so I got to go out and buy myself a new phone. So you know it's going to be like, you know, one of those burner drug dealer phones.
Well,
I'm not spending that much money on these.
Who is your provider?
T-Mobile, and they should give us. We should get some. We should get a commercial and get some money from
T-Mobile. Yeah, I'm with T-Mobile too.
There you go. Look at that. We're unified. You listening, T-Mobile? Send us some dough.
You know, it's funny. It's yeah, my bill went up significantly. However, however, my son, like, who's a little techie guy,
right?
You know, I love watching the hockey games. And now, in order to watch the hockey games, I can't watch them because, you know, it's a lot of money.
You can't stare straight at a hockey game. It's like an eclipse.
So I go to my son, I go, I can't watch hockey games. He goes, oh, yeah, here's what we do. He goes, you get a VoIP account, which I don't know what that is.
Yeah, VoIP. Oh, yeah, sure, yeah.
He goes, I'll do it for you. He goes, it's a VPN.
So your son is a tech guy, right?
It's a VEEPN account.
Right.
He goes, you start that. That puts your phone like it's in China.
Okay. Wait. It's one of those things that hides your IP address.
Right. He goes, then you go to this Brave browser, and then you click on this bootleg hockey site, and you get every game. And once you get it on your phone, you push down your right corner of your iPhone, and then you
I don't know about this, John.
Wait, listen.
It sounds like using a discount hooker, and you wind up with crabs.
I do this all the time. He goes, and then you go your right corner, and then there's two little squares, and you hit those two little squares, and it takes everything from your iPhone and puts it on your TV.
Okay. See, now, that's the thing. It's like your son's a tech guy, right? My son is an IT guy. He's a tech guy. I can't tell you how many times they're talking and they're saying like the Veep or this and that. And you do like,
no, I know what they're talking about.
But I pretend like, oh yeah. Well, right. You know, I didn't think of that. Like I pretend like I know everything he's saying and then I have to jot each one down and look it up because I just don't want to seem so far out of the loop.
You know, what's even funnier. Our buddy Scott, who was on a couple of weeks ago with Scott with the Flea Circus,
the bowling man.
Yeah. He left the show that day and he bowled a 300 game. Right?
Wow.
He bowled 16 strikes in a row, four into the next game. Anyway, when you hear this guy talk about bowling,
right?
Like, I just start laughing. I go, I had no idea. He's telling me that bowling alleys used to be made out of wood.
Yeah.
And like, well, they're not anymore. They're not anymore.
But they were wood. They were like a gym floor. They had that heavy polyurethane on them.
They're not anymore. Now they're all vinyl.
Okay.
And those stripes are painted on. And they oil them.
Oil them, but they must cover it with something. I mean,
they oil them before like matches.
Really?
So, like he's saying to me, you know, by like frame five, the number seven mark is now rutted from the oil.
Right.
So you have to break on the 7 to 9. I have no idea what he's talking about.
Nobody has any idea what he's talking about.
He goes, and then you have to bring your rotation. From like 380 to 480 to go out of that groove to swerve into the pocket.
It's like a jet pilot trying to tell you. Then you have to adjust the flaps, and it's like nobody knows what the fuck he's talking about, man. Unless you're into it and you're an expert, you're not going to understand what the hell he's talking about. I got to go to the groove and the flap.
Like, and then he tries to explain it. He's really patient, and I'm like, I still have no idea what he's talking about.
Right.
You know? It's so funny, you know? I said, I had no idea bowling was so technical. He goes, what do you think? You just roll the bowl down the aisle? And I go, yeah.
You know, maybe put a little English on it. You know, that's about it. That's the extent of my – but make sure you spray the shoes before you put them on. If you're renting the shoes, then you throw the ball down. What am I supposed to know about bowling?
Yeah, he just went out to the tournament in Las Vegas.
Right.
And he goes, well, I have to fly.
I wonder if he's bowling in the South Point. You ever been in the South Point Hotel in Las Vegas?
Yes, that's where it was.
It's because I've been there, and it's amazing. It's so big.
Bowling alley, right?
They have a huge bowl, like professional bowling alley. Yeah. Then they also have a section where they have horses, rodeo kind of. You can have a whole rodeo there. This place is huge.
So he goes to me, I got to fly Southwest because I got to bring, you know, a minimum of 4 to 5 bowling balls.
I got my Monday ball, my Tuesday ball.
I go, why do you need 4 or 5 balls? And he goes, well, probably when you bowled last time, you know, the balls were made of rubber. You know, now they're Then they went to polyurethane, but now they're all synthetic. He goes, you know, frames 1 through 3, I use my Defender.
Okay, my Defender.
And then it just has, and he talks about it so fluently.
When is the last time you were bowling, John?
Oh, God, I don't know.
It's got to be, geez, it's got to be 15 to 20 years for me. I can't even remember the last time I was bowling.
Yeah, it's probably that long because I remember my son's friend had a bowling party.
Yeah.
And I had to go watch the boys.
And it's not that I don't enjoy it. I enjoy bowling when you do it. It's just, I don't know, something happens in life where bowling is like one of those things you just stop doing. You know, I don't know.
Yeah. Michael Carbonaro had a great bowling thing on his show. He was supposed to be a bowling instructor.
Right.
And he says to the guy, you know, you got to watch out for the foul line, you know.
Right.
Because that's now a laser. And the guy goes, you know, if your foot goes through there, it's not good. So he goes to throw the ball and he slips and his foot goes through there. And his laces burst into flames, pulls his shoe off. He has half a sock and his feet's all black. His foot's all black.
That's funny. We got to get Michael back on his show.
Yeah, then he had another one where he threw the ball down the alley and he had a beer in his hand. And the ball came back. And he banged the ball into the bottle, and the ball had no holes in it. And the beer started leaking out of the holes in the bottle.
I love some of the stuff he pulls on. See, it's sad that his show, like, he's still not doing that show, because that show was amazing, the Carbonaro Effect. It was, yeah. I think it was better than whatever replaced it, you know, and it's a shame that it didn't continue, but...
Yeah, he's actually, if you want to see them, he's posting them as reels every day on Facebook.
Cool, very cool. Well, you know, we'll get him back. And, you know, I got to talk to a bunch of people, but I got a bunch of guests lined up.
It's time for today's Lucky Land Horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say. Your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Next week, we got a great show. We have a Emmy Award-winning journalist who... has been shot at. He's interviewed people like Charles Manson.
There you go.
Pretty wild. Pretty wild.
You ever actually hold one of those? I had a friend years ago who had an Emmy. It was for sound. Those things are pretty. It's a cool way. He won this for Pee Wee's Playhouse. This is how long ago it was. He was like. I was like, very cool, man, because that show was ahead of its time, and he won. I just can't see them at the award show going, you know, and the guy who wins for sound, is, you know, they do that technical. It was a separate ceremony.
How about this year when Godzilla won?
Godzilla? I didn't even see. Was that the Academy Awards?
Yeah, Academy Awards.
Which category did Godzilla win?
Technical, I think.
It's all computer generated. It's all whatever. I mean, Godzilla... I do my Godzilla.
Ooh. You know, it's like Godzilla. Let me see. What category?
Godzilla could have been like a wrestler because he's gone through so many things. First, he was a bad guy. Then he's a good guy. You know, you never know which. If they make a new Godzilla, you never know if he's a good. Now Godzilla's like a hero saving mankind and King Kong. You know, in the original ones, they were just destroying shit. Now they're saving humanity. You know, be good to the... Godzilla. That was one of my nightmares when I was a kid. I always had this reoccurring dream that Godzilla was coming to get me.
Yeah, he always said that.
You know, I got to talk to a psychiatrist or a therapist or something. See what Godzilla must have represented something like my father, you know. He's always coming to kill me.
Yeah, it's so funny. It's like, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but I don't mean to offend any Godzilla fans, but if you've seen one, you've seen them all.
Well, wait a minute, John.
Wasn't it like Godzilla versus Mothra? Godzilla versus the Hulk?
Godzilla is the king of the monsters. No, actually, I mean, I've seen a lot of them, and I like Godzilla movies. Even though, like I said, even though he tortured me as a child, I like his movies. You know, but they're all similar. Like I said, he was the bad guy. Now he's a good guy. I guess it's just kind of like, I don't know what it is. I don't know what the attraction is, but I enjoy a good Godzilla movie.
I used to love those King Kong movies.
The old ones,
King
right?
King Kong was the greatest movie. Yeah. And Mighty Joe Young.
I guess it was something about taming the untamable, you know, and there's something quality, I guess, inside of us that
and
can
they
relate
had that message.
That.
Remember, like, King Kong's laying there after he just falls off the Empire State Building?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you know, the woman's sitting there and O'Hara, the cop, goes, well, looks like looks like the planes got him. He goes, no, beauty killed the beast.
Beauty killed the beast, yeah. And there's another thing, was like, you know, I think those movies were showing that it's like about how it's like just something because it's different and whatever has its place in nature. Like if they never bothered this poor friggin' monkey and grabbed him and brought him to a city where he had no business. So it's like, who's really guilty here? Is it King Kong or is it the friggin' scumbag who brought King Kong to New York?
I heard on the news yesterday that Zimbabwe.
I don't know where
the elephants come from, you know?
The elephants come. Well, excuse me. Wow. Where are you? You're not coming in. Let me see your passport. Zimbabwe. Wait, this is a Zimbabwe elephant. He's not coming in.
Well,
where do the elephants come from? There's elephants in India. There's elephants
Germany,
in Africa.
Germany.
I don't know exactly where the elephants are from, John. I never checked their ID.
I got to look this up. Elephants. So Germany has the biggest thing about, you know, poachers and, you know, won't bite tusks and stuff. So this country is so pissed off at Germany, they're going to send them 20,000 elephants.
I don't even know if there 20,000 elephants exist.
I
thought they were pretty rare.
No, they say that now they're everywhere.
John, let me tell you something. It's never going to happen. You know what the shipping charge on an elephant is? Nobody's going to ship an elephant. We're sending 20,000.
Elephants sent to Germany. Here we go. Oh, Botswana. Botswana threatens to send 20,000 elephants to Germany for trophy hunting because they refuse to hunt them. They're saying that they're all over the place. Like you wake up and they're in your backyard.
It's like roaches. Oh shit, man! I got elephants.
What did I say? What did I say? Zimbabwe. What did I say?
Botswana.
No, but what did I say originally?
I don't even remember what the hell you said. You're assuming I listened to you, John. You said Zimbabwe or something like that.
Yeah, Zimbabwe. Botswana.
Botswana.
Where is Botswana?
It's next to Botswana too. I don't know. It's somewhere over there in those African. Yeah, that's another thing. I'm terrible in geography.
Listen to this guy's name.
Wait, it's Botswana, right? It's in New Jersey. Botswana, New Jersey.
The president of Botswana, his name is Mogawitsi Mazatasi.
His name is Uga Wugga Wugga Wugga.
How many elephants are left in the world? Trivia question. What do you think?
Well, you just said they're going to ship 20,000. So if there's that many, I'm going to say then 35,000 altogether, or 40,000.
450,000 to 500,000.
Wow. Where are these elephants? You'd figure you'd like to have one next door.
It's your backyard if you live in Botswana.
If there's so many elephants, I think you'd have one next door. You know what I mean? Hey, is that an elephant there?
They say that there originally was 111,000 in just 10 years. The total means that there are likely 500,000 total elephants globally.
Well, you know what, Nate? Look this up. What's the difference between an African elephant and an Indian elephant besides where they live?
100 years ago, there was 10 million African elephants.
Wow. You know what? Africa is a big friggin' place. And it's a lot of undeveloped area because I guess each elephant needs a huge amount of room to survive. I mean, what are they eating? They're eating plants and grass.
100 African elephants are killed each day by poachers.
Wow. See, we need that ball at the we need that wall at the southern border, John. The elephants are going to be coming here soon. We got to build a wall and have the elephants pay for it.
Oh, God. How many elephants were killed in 1980? Why did they pick that 100,000?
100,000. Wow. Well, you know what? And then there's a type of rhino. I don't know, it's the black rhino or something like. There's like only two of them left. I mean, they're so rare, and the Chinese kill them for their horn. They think the horn
gives them a boner.
Gives them a boner. Please, it's like there's 10,000.
That is a word you haven't heard in years.
A boner. I know nobody's heard that. Excuse me, I'm sorry, teacher, but I popped a boner.
A boner. What a funny word.
Boner. Just look at that embarrassing thing when you were in school. You had to go to gym class. I was always afraid to change. And it's like, because, Mr. Happy's got a mind of his own. So I'd be like changing in front of, you got 40, 50 dudes. What happens if you pop a boner?
things have changed so much. I saw a commercial yesterday for a new men's underwear.
Right.
And I swear to God, this isn't a joke, called the ball hammock.
Yes. Yeah, I've seen that. It's got a little hammock for your sack.
Ball hammock.
It's a sack for your sack.
The fact that you can actually say that on television.
Right.
Here's the ball hammock design for your underwear.
We've come a long way since, when they used to show on TV, men and women had to sleep in separate beds. Like in the old sitcoms, you'd see a married couple like Lucy and Desi or whatever. They had separate beds, and that was actually real, because my grandparents had separate beds in the room.
And if they sat on the bed, one of them had to have their foot on the floor.
Yeah, but tell the truth, John, are you wearing a ball hammock?
I know. I don't even think I qualify.
Well, I've been neutered. I don't even have balls.
I don't hang down like that.
It's that, or it's like, yeah, everything. There's a million different things to make your balls comfortable these days. Every other commercial I see too on TikTok or wherever is for the razor to shave that all down, which is another ridiculous thing. It's like, you know what? God gave you hair for a reason. Leave the hair. I don't want to see bald women anywhere, because you know what? That's for little babies are bald. I don't want to freaking, it's like, I'm sorry, but to me, there's something weird and crazy and deviant about it. It just is, it's like, I don't think people should be bald in certain places, except for your head. My head, I'm naturally, what bell is that, the bald bell or the gay bell?
That's the gay bell. you crossed the line.
The show didn't get funny until 40 minutes into the show. Let's cut the whole beginning of it off and just start there.
It's funny the stuff they can say. And then there's some other perfume, deodorant called UMM. And the woman goes, yeah, you can put it under your breasts, in your crack.
Oh, God. Yeah, I've seen not that one, but I've seen they got Lumi or...
Yeah, Lumi. That's what it is. Lumi.
Lumi. And it's like, please give me a break. Like, you invented something new. We've all been putting perfume or wherever in our stinky places for a long time. You didn't come up with some great idea.
Yeah, you can put it on your foot, on your crack. That's what she says on the TV.
I know, but like, come on. You're going to tell me before she came up with it, people weren't perfuming their stinky places anyway? Of course we were.
They're stinky places. What are you for?
We're human. We got stinky places. Excuse me. I got a stinky place.
Are you 4 years old? I got a stinky place. Can you put it in my stinky place?
See, what I want to know is, and this is a serious inquiry, and I hope nobody thinks I'm joking. Like, the baby powder.
Can I get the bell?
There's this big lawsuit about women getting cancer from baby powder. Now, and not to whatever, but, I've been putting baby powder all over, for a long time. Is it the same for men? If I put baby powder on my ass, I'm not going to get ass cancer, I hope.
No, it's you get from breathing it in.
Oh, so it's from breathing it in?
Yeah, so you don't worry anything about the baby powder, about the babies. They only worry about the mothers.
Yeah, I know, right? They're slathering the kid in powder and shit, and he's like, come on, I'm tough.
I think it's inhaling it.
No, I don't think so.
Can I look it up?
It's, It's the type of cancer they're getting is, you know, it's like down there. I think it's, you know, from whatever. So it makes me nervous because it's like, you know, who hasn't put powder in their ass to keep your ass dry? I, you know, hope I'm not going to get ass cancer.
Wow. Let me look it up for you.
I love it. It's like you get older and you got to worry about what kind of cancer. Let's spin the cancer wheel. What kind of cancer am I going to get? But you know what? They made such strides in the medical field anyway.
There you go. Let's see if you qualify.
Let's see if you qualify. You have cancer in your ass.
What illness do you? Okay, so it's. Oh, so yeah, no, it's ovarian cancer, which you don't qualify.
Yeah, see.
Fallopian cancer.
So that's not from breathing it, John, unless there's lungs right down there. You know? But so it's like, you know what, Mom? I want to see somebody. Every other, that's another thing. Every commercial is suing somebody. Did you spend 10 minutes in Camp Lejeune? You know, it's like,
I know.
How many, or the mesothelioma? It's like, what a fucking depressing world we live in.
You know, it's so funny. I just read, not that it's funny at all, but fallopian cancer. Right. Fallopian.
Well, that's just a funny word, fallopian.
Well, when you
sounds like a bad comedian. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome your comic, fallopian. All
this
right
is really funny. When you work in the hospital, right?
Right.
When any of the new students come in,
right,
you send them down to central supply
for
25 feet of fallopian tubing. And most of them have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, you know, we got that machine over there. You see the tubes? You got to replay. Go down, get us some fallopian tubing.
And they don't even know. They go, we need some.
How
fringes.
Stupid can you be? Maybe that should be your phalum right there. If you don't know what fallopian tube is, you know what? And dude, when you go downstairs to get the fallopian tube, just get on a bus and go home because you're a fucking idiot.
Okay. You want to hear the funniest story ever in the hospital? This is going to be sick. This is the funniest. Okay, so I had this friend of mine, Tom Burke, in school, who was the classic class clown. I mean, there's no way to describe it. No matter what he would do, he would take tubes of KY jelly,
stick
them in the door frame. So when you were bringing a patient, you'd slam the door, and it would splat you on the back of the head.
That's nice.
He thought it was really funny. He could take a Q-tip, cut the end, put fins in it, put in the oxygen tubing, kink off the tubing, turn it up, put a hypodermic needle on the end of the Q-tip, open it up, and stick it in the cinder block. So he was very funny. He was very funny.
Yeah, no, this is hilarious stuff, John.
No, I mean, you know, we had a.
He would like crimp, you know, the oxygen tube when people were laying in the bed. It was funny.
People.
It was so funny.
People. We had a teacher, Mrs. Deutsch. Right. Who was, and he would just stand up in class and go, so, excuse me, Mrs. Deutsch.
Mrs. Deutsch.
And she goes, it's Deutsch. She goes, okay, Deutsch. you know, anyway, so the head x-ray technician hated him.
Wonder why.
He had no right being in the hospital. So he gave him this patient, and he told him that he was blind and deaf. And to make sure that he took, you know, extra care of him.
Right.
So he stands the guy up against the x-ray table, gives him a cup of barium, and comes walking in, dancing around him, giving the guy the finger, grabbing his balls, and sticking his tongue out.
Because he thinks the guy's bald and deaf and blind.
And after about 2 minutes, the guy goes, what the fuck is the matter with you? And that was it.
The teacher got him back. He was fired. They got rid of his ass.
But oh, that's can so you funny. Imagine this poor guy in the hospital and the guy who's going to take care is walking around going, grabbing his boobs. Hey,
and you know what? There's no defense because what are you going to say? Well, I thought the guy was blind and deaf. But even if you thought that, what the fuck are you doing? There's no defense.
It's like something right out of a comedy movie that if you ever saw, you'd go, oh, that could never happen.
That's ridiculous, man.
Oh my God, it's so funny. I just always think what that guy must have been thinking.
Oh, how are we doing on time? You know, I got a weird thing. It says live performance audio off. I hope we've been recording this.
What?
On top of my thing, it says recording and it says live performance audio off. I hope that's not. I just noticed that.
Well, don't even tell me that.
We got a new technician on the show, John Ferrantino. It's very technical.
Oh, that's not me. Savvy. I hit record. All I'm supposed to do is hit record. We will check it out before you leave.
That'd be funny. It'd be nothing.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine? We got to do this crap again.
Oh, man. Well, what's the recording? What are we on? What's our time?
We have about 3 minutes left.
3 minutes.
Well, I can tell you one story that I read about this people in Dade County. They were in the Everglades. Yeah. And it was a mother and a father, and their mother and father, and their kids, and two other couples in the Everglades, and they were going on an alligator tour. So the guy was in an airboat, and he's driving along, and he goes, there's a nest of like 5 or 6, 10, 12-foot alligators, and cranks a U-turn, and the boat flips over right in front of the alligators.
Awesome.
And the alligators jump into the water.
This is somebody you knew or somebody?
No, I read it in the paper. I read in the paper yesterday. And
nobody got hurt.
Nobody got hurt, but the guy's saying it was the most terrifying moments of his life trying to find his parents and his kids. And
what kind of moron cranks like? I mean, I know I've seen those airboats. I've never been on one, but I'm guessing that you crank a U-turn real quick. It happens like immediately.
Yeah.
There's no.
Next time you come, we'll go on the airboat.
You got to know that you're going to throw people off the boat. The guy driving must have known it.
The Coast Guard came and immediately arrested the guy.
Good. He deserved to get arrested, and then they should have beat the shit out of him.
And then, but the guy said he goes, one funny anecdote was, I lived on the Everglades my entire life. My dad used to say, no one ever goes into the Everglades unless you're stupid without a big knife. And he goes, I had a big knife on my belt. Mm-hmm. And he said, the boat went over, never thought about the knife. I just thought about saving my family.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing is nobody ever knows how you're going to react in an emergency until you're hit with an emergency. So we can only hope. So,
well, I think it's time to wrap it up.
Well, this has been fun. I enjoyed this show.
It's been really good. And that's right. You can catch us on anywhere you get your podcast.
Spotify, Playground, Apple Podcasts.
Yeah, I listen to it on Apple. And
we're like a rash. We're everywhere, baby.
We are everywhere. You can't get rid of us because we're Mike and John in the morning.
Hey, thank you for lowering your standards and hanging out with Mike and John in the morning.
You better be good, otherwise it might just be John in the morning. All right. Well, we'll see you next week, and we're going to end the show, and you don't go anywhere, Mike. All right.
Peace. All right.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.